Right. That's my hint that it's 12 up noon and time to get started. The recording has been started, so I remind everybody this is a public open meeting and we'll start off with roll call. Rose?
Judge Conklin?
I'm here.
Miss Fleming?
I'm here.
Judge Clark?
Here.
Judge Gabe?
Here.
Judge Gaddy?
Here.
Judge Hernandez?
Good afternoon, here.
Judge Kamakarian?
Here.
Judge Kelly?
Here.
Judge Losh?
Present.
Judge Reinhardt? Judge Sachs?
Here.
Judge Siebert? Miss Cameron?
Here.
Mr. Finke?
Here.
Mr. Kim?
Mr. Kim notified us he will not be here today.
Thank you. Mr. Landry notifies us he would not be here today. Miss Levere?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Riley?
Here.
Mr. Rule?
Here.
Mr. Seal notified us he would not be here today. Mr. Slayton?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Good afternoon, President.
Our advisory member, Mr. Theodorovich?
Here.
And our liaison member, Judge Awani. Judge Conklin, you're muted.
Sorry, I guess I could stay muted for the whole meeting. I know we have a few members that will join us as soon as they get done with their calendars. Welcome, everybody. Thank you. We're going to try to keep this to an hour and a half long meeting if necessary. We're going to move into our agenda right away. But before we get there, I'd invite a motion to approve the minutes from our May 3rd tickback meeting. Is there such motion?
Rule moves.
Second, Judge Gabe, yeah. Thanks for seconding that. Moved and seconded. So therefore, Cameron, that the minutes be approved. Any opposition to the approval of the minutes? I hear and see none. The minutes are deemed unanimously approved. Rose, did we receive any written public comment for the meeting?
We did not, Judge.
Excellent. Okay. So we have three discussion items before us, folks. I want to preface the meeting with thanks to all of you. I know we have had to move very while appropriately, expeditiously through these issues to meet some strict guidelines concerning the budget. And I really appreciate the work everybody's put in, most significantly staff. I've been receiving phone calls daily. I'm sure they have as well. I really appreciate how engaged all of you are. Many of you have reached out. Many of you have comments about some of the materials that are very appropriate that we will try to work through as we go through this meeting. But let's get right to it. The first item on the agenda today.
If I might, just maybe just for the benefit of maybe setting the stage as to where we are budgetarily and where things are in terms of process, not to take too much time, but I think it's worth refreshing, especially things moving quickly through the budget process. And so budget pieces came out on the 10th, and then the balance came out on the 14th. We know that the reason that we have these three items before us is because the governor proposed as part of balancing the budget on a more structural basis and addressing what was initially a projected $36 billion budget hole in the out years, providing ongoing budget reductions in state government. There's been a bit of confusion about what had been an earlier survey on current year savings. And I want to make sure it's clear is that, you know, the savings that are being returned in the current year are helping the budget situation overall, but that's separate and distinct from what is being proposed by the governor is this 96 point and, you know, almost $97 million reduction on an ongoing basis. They also then have reductions to court reporter funding. And then I'll use the word adjustment rather than a reduction, because it's not a cut. It's an alignment of the need for CARE Act workload to the a reduction in the number of estimated number of petitions. And so the reason we do have to work quickly And this is all subject to change based on final negotiations, but oftentimes about 98-99% of what the governor proposes is what's adopted in the final budget, is that the council is statutorily required to issue allocations in July with final updates in January. And therefore, we need to work to meet that July council meeting of the 12th. And while it is feeling a bit accelerated, it's just part of the process we need to do. But know that, the extent that there's any changes in the budget, to the extent that they are significant in any way, we may need to revisit the work that you're doing today. But at worst, it is the proposal that we have. At best, it could be better, is our hope. But, we're working hard. I have meetings on other items. For example, this afternoon, there's meetings with legislative staff on remote trailer bill language, meetings on the fund balance cap increase are ongoing with legislative staff. I've had already a meeting this morning about that. So there's a lot of moving parts, and there's going to be items from the legislature and stakeholders that may come from out of nowhere. And we're going to be on our toes. I'm working closely with Corey and then closely with Shelley, obviously, on all of this. But I do appreciate your flexibility, your willingness to come today in this meeting, but giving you the context of the budget process. And I wanted to give you a chance to also ask any sort of broad questions about the budget. But it's a significant change from January, as the governor is looking to solve not just the budget year 24-25, but make a significant impact on the out-year projections of budget holes. The legislative analysts came out with their view of things, acknowledging that they are much better, but there's still some downside risk that the revenues that the governor's projected are more optimistic than theirs. So just a lot going on, but we do, again, appreciate all the work that you're doing and coming together to go through these important items today.
Zlatko, thanks for that update. Much appreciated. And that will highlight the discussions that we go through, folks. At the end of the day, the numbers are going to change. And we won't know those final numbers till the end of June. We're deciding policy today. And so while you have some numbers that will help you understand the impact of those policies, our decision today is policy. But as the point Zlatko makes is, regardless of what we decide today, the ultimate numbers going to the court will not be known until the budget is finalized.
Again, so I would be remiss if I hadn't acknowledged that I was joined by Judge Hernandez at hearings all day on a Wednesday last week, and seeing the budget process as it is. And I think what I would want to note is that this, these are challenging cuts for us, absolutely. And I don't want to, gloss over that. That is, there will be impacts on access. But we also were hearing about reductions in other parts of government, which are also going to be difficult. This is ultimately a budget that reduces services throughout the state. And our goal is to, consider that. And again, that's why I'm working hard to make sure that fund balance cap is in place and increased, so that it can help us mitigate some of these budget reductions.
Great. Thanks, Zlatko, very much. And I guess at the end of the day, folks, not one of us will not be negatively impacted. And I know that's a triple negative, but every single court is going to be impacted by a cut. And that's what we're going to deal with today. So let's get there. First is the CARE Act allocations. This is an action item that Don's going to present to us in brief summary. This is consideration of revised recommendations for the 24-25 allocations from the CARE Act due to caseload adjustments. And Don's going to help us understand that these adjustments are based upon the reduction in caseload in CARE Act cases as we've worked through those statistics. And I'll turn it over to Don for that presentation at this time. Don?
Thanks, Judge. Don Will from Judicial Council. Last month, this advisory committee recommended allocating $53 million for CARE Act court operations and hearing costs in FY24-25 and $66 million in 25-26, using the methodology that was established the year before. The May revision included an adjustment of 50% to the court's CARE Act allocation. This is based on the revised petition numbers that were provided to us. These are now projected to be About 20% of the original projection from when the CARE Act legislation was passed, so about an 80% drop from an ongoing total of 18,000 per year to the new total of 3,500 per year. The core portion of the CARE Act budget was projected when we worked it out with Department of Finance to be about one half court operations and about one half hearing costs. So they did not apply or did not ask, the adjustment was not applied to the court operations piece. It was applied to the hearing piece. So the overall cut is not 80%, it's 50%. The revised allocation report in front of you recommends continuing to use the established methodology that includes the base amounts that ensure that the smaller courts and small to medium courts have sufficient funding to run a CARE Act program, $26.5 million in 24-25 and $32.9 million in 25-26. And the details of the allocation is found in Table 3 as our an alternate scenario in the report. And I think, Judge, I'm happy to answer any questions or clarify anything the members would like.
That's very much appreciated, Don. Excellent and succinct as always. So the three recommendations that Don mentions are at page 10 of 29 of your materials. Questions for Don about those recommendations and the CARE Act allocations? Don, I think that's probably a sign of how thorough your presentation was. There's no questions. Is there a motion to approve those three recommendations?
Gabe approves or moves.
A second?
I'll second. Callum Carrion.
All right. Moved and seconded that the three recommendations set forth at page 10 be approved. It's now open for discussion. Any additional discussion? Hearing none, considering the number of members on this Zoom meeting, rather than calling for a voice vote, is there any opposition to the motion to approve the three recommendations? Hearing and seeing no opposition, I'll deem those three recommendations unanimously approved. Don, as always, thanks so much. Always good to see you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Judge.
We're now
Judge Conklin?
Yes.
This is Judge Seabrook.
I should have acknowledged. I saw Judge Seabrook come in. He's named Sally, apparently, is his new name. You're cutting in and out, Judge
apparently.
Seabrook. But I'm going to give you credit for being here.
Okay, I'm listening.
I gotcha. And we appreciate it. I know you're traveling, so we appreciate you joining in. Has anybody else joined since the roll call? Don't hear anybody. So we're now moving to item number two. This is court reporter allocations. Again, this is based consideration of revised recommendations for the 24-25 court reporters due to the funding reduction, including in the May revision. You're all aware of that. This is for allocations for court reporters in family law and civil type cases. Chris Belloli is here to present on behalf of Budget Services. Chris, I'm going to turn it right over to you.
Thank you very much, Judge Conklin. I know everyone's familiar with this item because we've been before this body over the last couple of years. I'll just go ahead and go straight to what are really two allocation options that we're presenting for your consideration. And those would be listed on page 16 of the materials. The first option, which is option A, would maintain the allocation methodology that was used in previous years. And what that starts with is a $25,000 funding floor for courts, and then it allocates the remaining funding to courts proportionally based upon non-criminal judicial need as what was sort of approved when we developed the allocation methodology. So that would be listed as option A, and the actual allocations would be attachment 2A in your materials. The second option, which is listed as option B, would be making an adjustment to the funding floor amount consistent with the 1/3 reduction in the overall level of funding from $30 million to $20 million. And so what that does is to adjust the funding floor dollar amount from $25,000 to $16,667, or a one-third reduction in that funding floor amount. And then, much like option A, it allocates the remaining funding proportionally based upon non-criminal judicial need. And those allocations would be listed in attachment 2B of your materials. And with that, Judge Conklin, I'll turn it back over to you for any questions.
So, Chris, thanks so much. So as I understand it, the only the difference between one and two is in two, we're bringing the floor courts down by a third, and we're taking the money that is gained, for lack of a better word, from that reduction and spreading it back out to the non-floor courts. Is that correct?
Correct. Based upon the same proportions, but there would be a little bit more left over after allocating the funding floor when you're setting that amount at 16,600 rather than 25,000.
Okay. So we do have to make a decision, folks, between these two recommendations. Chris is here for questions, thoughts about which would be the more effective recommendation at this point, again, recognizing we're dealing with a one-third reduction.
Judge Conklin, this is
hand up.
David, I see your hand. Slayton, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks very much. I lean towards option B, but I would like to propose a potential shift that maybe the committee consider. If you look at the supplemental materials that came out, we were provided with the expenditures over the past 3 years. And we know as a branch that some of the courts across the state are unable to spend some of the funds, or maybe even any of the funds that are allocated to them. And there are other courts whose expenditures either in this fiscal year or in the previous fiscal year exceed now what is available to them under the third reduction. And so what I would like to propose is that we go with B as a preliminary allocation, but that we ask JCC to send out a survey to the courts to see whether or not those courts believe that they will be able to expend any a portion or will need additional resources from their perspective to be able to cover the recruitment and retention incentives that these funds are meant to be, such that the branch could try to fully expend the funds and cover the needs that courts otherwise might have. I know that's done in other programs as mid-year adjustments. My only suggestion would be that for this program, that we try to do that as early in the fiscal year as possible, because the purpose of these funds is meant to try to provide recruitment and retention incentives. And obviously many of us have agreements that we work on with labor on this. And if we could get those access to those funds earlier in the fiscal year, I think it would be most beneficial. If we choose to go with option B without that redistribution, I would guess that we would have some significant amount of unexpended funds, which I think is contrary to the goals of the branch and what the legislature has asked us to do. So I would think that a redistribution that tries to meet everyone's needs and what they believe those needs will be would be appropriate. If we were to just take previous expenditures and just go with that, it would seem to be inappropriate, because perhaps courts might choose to spend them in the next fiscal year. But by asking them, that would be my preference. So that's my answer.
Okay, David, I appreciate that. So as I understand what you're proposing, and again, I admit every meeting, I don't have the brains of a CEO. I have the brains of a PJ, which doesn't help us much. But from the administrative perspective, you're suggesting that we send a survey out to the courts, perhaps at mid-year, just to determine the use of these funds. I want to be careful, as I understand your suggestion, and want to make sure that I am correct. We're not at this point dictating or mandating the way that money be spent, because we don't do that. We give the money to the courts. Courts make different decisions at different times of years about how to expend these funds, especially when it comes down to court reporters. And that's not our function. But as I understand what you're saying, we're not doing that here. We're simply at mid-year reaching out to those courts, get information back about how those funds have been expended, and then we can decide what perhaps we do with that. Is that accurate?
Close. I agree with you about not dictating how they be spent. We have some direction from the legislature about how they can be spent, and the right. JCC we would follow that, of course. But my suggestion, a little spin on what you said, would be that rather than waiting for mid-year, that we do that earlier, because and my suggestion would be as early as possible after the allocations are actually made, so that those funds can be redistributed as early as possible in the year. Because, you know, let's say that we want to spend a little bit more on advertising for recruitment, or we want to spend more on retention, or the earlier in the year we have access to those funds, the more effective they would be. If we wait till the end of the year, it will be more difficult to spend them before the end of the year. So pretty much exactly what you said, except for my suggestion is that we, if possible, have that survey earlier in the year and ask people to provide estimates at that point. I mean, maybe necessary to do it again at the mid-year, but my request would be that it be done early in the year.
Okay, thoughts?
Judge,
you've got your hand up. Go ahead, you're muted.
Yeah, this is, good morning, everyone, or good afternoon. I agree with David and was going to make a similar suggestion that we look at the ability to come back at a mid-year adjustment, and I agree with his analysis to do it sooner than later. We know that the expenditure of funds based on last year's utilization will be able to utilize all the funds, even with the reduction, and we would hate to leave funds on the table that end up being unable to be expended. So I just want to offer my support then to David's proposal there for that to be done. I think that would be wise.
Judge Clark, thank you. Rebecca?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. I too agree that we should do everything we can to spend the funds for this intended purpose, but I do want to qualify or clarify what David's proposing. This redistribution, typically in the past when we have done that, it's been for the year of, and then we go back to our original distribution and you know, do whatever we do the next year. So I'm assuming you're talking about a one-time redistribution and not necessarily a permanent change to the distribution at that mid-year point.
That would be I agree with that.
Excellent. That's a very important clarification, Rebecca. Thank you. Any additional concerns, comments, or questions? I hear somebody trying to talk, and I just don't know who that is. Judge Siebert, if it's you, I'm really sorry, but your connection is really choppy.
Can you hear me? Okay?
Just barely, Judge Siebert.
Okay. This is Judge Siebert. Can you hear me okay now?
Now we can hear you better.
All right. Sorry.
So you're muted again, but did you have a comment? So Judge Siebert, I'm sorry, but
can you hear me now?
Barely.
Problem. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry, Judge Siebert, we're trying, and I'm not sure if you're just trying to let us know you're here, but that's how choppy it is we can't pick up anything else from you. So I appreciate your trying. We'll stand by for that, but we'll move forward with this item. So David, could I ask you to make the motion so we have your alternative or your addition down clearly?
Absolutely. I would move that we go with option B with the modification that these preliminary allocations be made, and then a survey go out to the courts as soon as possible after the allocations are actually made by the Judicial Council, and that funds that courts don't believe that they can expend would be reallocated to those who believe they can expend more than what their allocation is.
All right, is there a second to that motion?
Second that motion, Judge Clark.
Judge Clark seconded. So, Rose, do you have the language that you need for the motion?
I do, thank you.
Great, thank you. So it's now been moved and seconded, and it's now a pending motion. Any further discussions? Doesn't look like it. And Judge Siebert, we tried, but we're going to move forward with a vote on this.
Judge Conklin, real fast, I want to make sure, since I made the motion, that I bring in what Rebecca said, which is that this would be a one-time, every year would be reevaluated.
This exactly. So this is not any funds that are not allocated and returned would not have binding effect on next year's allocation, correct?
Correct.
Okay. With that clarification, I think Rose has that. And any opposition to the motion has stated. I see no hands. I hear no voices. Judge Siebert, we're I'm going to show that Judge Siebert, I don't want to bind him. So at this point, we're not going to enter a vote for Judge Siebert. I'll give him the opportunity to oppose later. Otherwise, this motion is unanimously approved, save for Judge Siebert's supplemental vote. Okay. All right, folks, thanks. So now we're moving to item number three on our agenda. This is the allocations from the TCTF, the Trial Court Trust Fund. I'm going to turn this over to Oksana in just a moment. I wanted to preface this just to help give you folks a procedural background about how we got here. I want to once again thank Zlotko for laying the scene for us of concerning the budget. FMS had their meeting on March 7th concerning TCTF allocations. Remember on March 7th, things were pretty relatively good. On March 7th, the January budget proposal had come out. We were not yet in the position of confronting any reductions, but we were being realistic. So FMS had a slate of meetings. I again thank all the FMS members. I even reached out to them over the past few days, asked them to re-listen to the meeting so they could, if they wanted to, make additional comments. But we had a very thorough discussion about two items at FMS. The first was the CPI allocation that we'd received and the decision that was made after effective but thorough discussion that CPI would not be considered to be new money. And I'm not going to drill down real far on that, but I think many of you are aware of what impact it has to describe something as new money as far as how money is then allocated. So the decision was made that a definition of new money would not include CPI, or stated another way, CPI would any CPI allocation from the governor would not be considered new money for the purposes of deciding what allocation methodology we're using. The rationale that went in there generally, and again, if any FMS member wants to add, was that CPI was intended to benefit all the courts for ongoing costs that happen every year, regardless of money going up or money going down. Zlotko also made some very significant points that as the CPI was advocated and representations were made to DOF and to the governor, that this money, if obtained, would be used for the benefit of all courts. And Zlotko was very candid to help us understand that we need to maintain the integrity that we move forward with. And if we were to treat this other than non-new money, that would place a different reflection on what was advocated for, which is not a good way to move forward. And so I thought that was a very valid point to make. With that, the motion was moved and unanimously approved, as I remember, that CPI was not to be considered new money. We then moved to the discussion that will take our time today, and that is the allocation of potential reductions. We did not punt at FMS, but we, and again, with Zlotko's guidance and others, it was made clear that we did not have sufficient information at that time to actually make a recommendation. There was just granular information that we needed about workload that we didn't have at the time. And we simply did not know at that point what, if any, cut was going to come forward. Now, that being said, we also recognize the task before us. And I don't remember, I want to give credit where credit is due, but I don't remember if it was Judge Kelly or Judge Getty or somebody who suggested, well, but let's at least say what if. Let's at least, or Judge Clark maybe, let's at least go down this path so if we have to come back to it, we can. And we considered modifications of alternatives that are now presented to you today. The first consideration was pro rata, which, for lack of a better description, and believe me, Oksana is really going to move forward on this, so I'm going to shut up in just a minute. But pro rata is basically everybody takes the same cut. And while that's very easy to do mathematically, I'll put forward what I thought was the opinion of FMS, That is does very little, if anything, to address and accomplish our goal of equity. And that's a goal we cannot lose focus on, regardless of the budget allocations, regardless of how dire things are. The committee felt that equity is something that we always have to make sure is addressed, and pro rata simply was not sufficient to do that. So then we moved to a discussion of what I think is going to occupy our time today, and that is a sort of what's described as a reverse workload equity allocation. In other words, allocating the cut rather than allocating the addition. And how do we do that? So you have numbers in front of you today. You have charts that have significant work has gone into. The charts even came out today with the exact same information, just presented in a slightly different way. So we typically hesitate to do that because we don't want the discussion to be driven by the numbers, nor do we want this discussion to be driven by the numbers. But the point was made at FMS, and again, I think it was Judge Getty, I'm not sure, somebody said, what we need to be able to do is to be able to look at each of these proposed allocation methodologies and see what they accomplish towards equity and which is perhaps most effective and least effective. And the numbers help us make that decision. Folks, there's a saying I heard when I first joined the council, and that is don't let perfection stand in the way of the good. These whatever this allocation methodology turns out to be is not going to be perfect and is going to be painful. There's no two ways about it. There simply isn't. But this group is excellent at trying to come up with the good for the courts as a whole. I'm not trying to lecture. I'm done. I'm going to turn it over to Oksana. This is going to take a little while, folks. I'd ask you as best you can to follow along with the charts that you got. Because she made this presentation to me yesterday, and it's just excellent. I don't know how else to say it. She has done such good work. I'm going to shut up and so she can present that work. Oksana?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Oksana Tuck. I am a senior analyst with Budget Services. Agenda number three on today's meeting considers some of the potential options for the allocation methodology to address $97 million reduction to the trial court's operational funding included in the 24-25 May revision. This item begins on page 22 in your materials. The current workload formula policy states that allocations in fiscal years for which a budget reduction must be implemented will be addressed as needed, with special consideration towards those courts that are below the statewide average funding level. Two recent examples of funding reductions occurred in 2021 and 2023-24. The 2020 Budget Act included a $167.8 million reduction to the trial court baseline funding due to the sizable budget deficit projected as a result of the COVID pandemic. In 2023-24, the civil assessment backfill amount decreased by $10 million to $100 million ongoing. The methodologies for those reductions are described on page 23 in your materials. So the possible allocation options for 24-25 funding reduction for deliberation today include the following. The pro rata reduction. That option allocates the reduction proportional to all trial courts based on each court's workload formula allocation amount or each court's workload formula need amount, respectively displayed in attachment 3A and 3B. And courts with a greater allocation amount will receive a larger share of the deduction. So those two are pretty straightforward options. Are there any questions?
Any questions on pro rata? And anything anybody wanted to add about, so one's need and one's, again, Roxana, the difference between A and B?
That's the my question.
Yes. So the attachment 3A represents the proportional reduction based on workload formula allocation amount. 3B based on workload formula need amount.
So A is what we got, B is what we wanted. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Judge Getty, does that help? Does that answer your question? A is the actual money we got. B is the is what is our need, what we want, but A is the allocation.
I think some of my confusion was that not all of the courts seem to appear on the 3B, or maybe I'm missing a page. I don't know. When you're looking at the one based on WAFM and then one on need.
I see them from Alameda to Yuba.
So I'm seeing detail step two, and it starts at Imperial.
Are you looking at the additional materials? You need to open the actual materials for today's meeting, all three items.
Right. So on the first page, attachment 3C starts from Alpine and ends in Yuba. And it says step one. And then step two says Imperial through Tehama. It doesn't have everybody there. And no. Then step three, that's what I was confused about.
Judge Getty, you're looking at the different set of materials. So you really need to look at the actual agenda with all the materials having three items.
The original. Oh, not the revised.
Original one, yeah. Okay. It's not really revised. It's just an additional supplemental. Okay. Materials, yeah, but please look at the original one.
My apologies. I see. So we're talking.
Well, I fell into the same trap, Judge Getty. So I'm glad you asked the question, and Oksana did a great job clarifying it.
Sorry about that.
Oksana? No need to apologize. So is that clear? Those two options are pretty straightforward.
Great. So let's go to C and D.
Okay. So next option is a reverse workload formula equity reduction. This methodology is intended to be a reverse of the existing workload formula allocation methodology used to distribute new money when it is included in the budget for the trial courts. The reverse workload formula reduction approach has never been used in the past. Therefore, there is no established and council-approved methodology that exists. Our attempt to apply a full-blown reverse engineering approach was somewhat impractical, as it is challenging to accurately reverse some of the criteria from the original workload formula allocation methodology. And specifically, the step one of the workload formula allocation methodology brings all cluster one courts to 100% of the funding level, and the very last step restrict any court to exceed 100% of its need. So again, those two steps cannot be easily reversed. Therefore, we skip those two steps and we only use the other two steps in the methodology. So that option is presented in attachment 3C. And we can put it on the screen for you to give you a little more visual display. So it's kind of easier to see and understand.
Donna, thank you.
Thank you, Donna. So again, what happens first is we use the 50% of the reduction amount. Again, it can be specified as a different portion. And it was allocated to courts that are above the statewide average funding level. And it was scaled by each court size and the distance from the statewide average based on the court's workload formula need. So the allocation reduction is intended to bring courts down to, but not below, the statewide average funding level. And then the other 50% of the reduction, or it can be a balance of the reduction, was allocated to all courts based on the workload formula. So consistent with the workload formula policy, This methodology gives special consideration to courts below the statewide average funding level to support the goal of the workload-based equitable funding. Any questions before we move to the next option?
Great. Let's get there, Oksana, to go to D, and then we can take questions about the difference in C and D or any other questions. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Okay. So the last options presented today is a reverse workload formula equity reduction with a funding band. So this methodology was used in 2021 to allocate $167.8 million reduction due to the COVID pandemic. And it described as in a background section of this report on page 23. So attachment 3D displays this allocation option for $97 million reduction with the same criteria that were used in 2021, such as 4% band above and below the statewide average funding level, meaning it's 2% above and 2% below the existing statewide funding level. Then the proportional reduction was allocated to courts that are within the band, and the same reduction is applied to cluster one courts that are above the bands. The additional 1% up to 1% reduction was allocated to courts that are above the band, and a smaller reduction was allocated to courts below the band. And it was scaled again by their size and their distance from the statewide average. Similar to the previous option, this methodology also gives special consideration to courts that are below the statewide average to support the goal of workload-based equitable funding. So are there any questions?
So Oksana, I'm gonna open it up to questions, but you know me, folks, sometimes I try to simplify and maybe oversimplify what was presented. And so for those of you that have not been in TickBack when we worked through this initially and created the workload, and I see hands up from Chad and Judge Getty, I'll get right there. But we dealt with how to accomplish goals of equity and stability and predictability as we work through these methodologies. We can't perfectly get everybody to the exact statewide average. It's just mathematically impossible. So then we started to factor in how far away from the average should you be before you're impacted from these cuts. And we worked on this 4%, which is 2% above and 2% below. And that's, for lack of a better description, the sweet spot. If you're in that 4% range, two above and two below, you're within what we call the band. And for lack of a better way, you're in good shape. Nobody's in great shape, but you're, relatively speaking, related to the statewide average, you're in good shape. If you're more than 2% above or more than 2% below, you're either, and I know this is an offensive term, but I'm just going to use it, you're either overfunded or underfunded, even though I know no court is overfunded. I acknowledge that, given the work you do. But if you're more than 2% above that band, steps are taken to accomplish equity by reallocating funds to other courts that are below the band. And now we had to flip it with this cut. So essentially what we're trying to do is take those courts that are above the band, bring them closer into the band, and take those cuts that are below the band and bring them closer to in the band. And that's where we are now. I know there's discussions about what happens when we get in the band. I'm going to open that up to everything, but I just wanted to simplify. That's where we are. So I'm going to try to go in order. I'm looking at the screen. I'm going to go Chad and then Judge Getty and then David Yamasaki. I'm just looking at the hands that are up on the screen. So let's start with Chad. Chad?
Thanks, Judge. Oksana, I wonder, could you just explain really quickly on 3D for the courts that are in purple in the band, could you sort of explain why their level of cut is set at 3.83%? And just instead of perhaps the 3.57% that we see on, I think it's 3A. Just can you just kind of walk us through that piece?
Yes. So I want to kind of start with saying that to have a clear understanding of what is the difference in a percentage. So the 3.57%, it's really a difference between the existing funding level, which is 94.88% currently, and the 91.31% that will be a new statewide funding level after the reduction. So this is the difference. So it's the average of 3.57%. The reduction that is shown in the band for all those courts is a result of the data model that we use to calculate the reduction. So again, we follow the exactly same model as it was used back in 2021 for the COVID reduction related. And that's kind of the result of it. It's just coincidentally similar numbers, but they're not really related or should not be necessarily the same. It's just how the mathematics speak.
Does that answer your question, Chad?
I think so. Thank you.
Okay.
And again, if committee wants to change that percentage, it's within your power and authority. So we are discussing how it was done in the past, and any option can be, any parameters or criteria can be changed, go higher, go lower. So again, that's pretty much why we're discussing. So we want to land on the most feasible approach for the reduction.
And Oksana, I appreciate that. I'm going to get to these questions, but I just for a little bit of extra background, Rebecca can add to this if I'm wrong, but we looked at different bands when we first came up with this methodology of 2%, in other words, two above, two below, 6%, three above, three below, and 8%, four above, four below. And we found after running numbers again and again and again that the 4% was, to use the phrase I used before, the sweet spot. That was the most effective way. When we got to that. Rebecca, was that your recollection as well? Okay, that was a yes. So again, to stop talking and turn to questions, Judge Getty.
I want to say thank you for these numbers. And when we talked to FMS, this is exactly what I was talking about, is that we really kind of need to see how those formulas play out. One of the questions I have for Oksana is there's a part of this formula that you talked about scaling and how far and distant you are. And I don't know if there's a numerical value that we can see for that, just so that folks can have greater transparency to their numbers. I know that I was surprised to see the difference between 3D and 3C, because our lower funded courts actually come out worse under 3D than they do come out on 3C. It's a much more significant hit to places like, Lake and Yuba don't seem to get a leg up at all. So quite frankly, I think us understanding all of these formulas is really important, not only in theory, but to see its application. And I'm going to be candidly saying, I think that I'm in favor of 3C as we move forward. I'm not making a motion because I know there's a lot to discuss. But one of the things we've talked about is equity, and we're never going to get there until we make some of the hard decisions. And if we're always going to wait for it to be on the back of new money, we're never going to get there.
Judge Getty, thank you. David Yamasaki.
Yes, thank you very much. Apologies there. So one of the things I wanted to make sure that we can kind of be reminded of some of the philosophies that were enacted when we started looking at a funding formula for the distribution of funds. And I think in the early stages of the discussion, there was great inequity from county to county, and courts ended up having to get some reductions for the redistribution to create some parity in the level of funding that the courts were receiving, because no new money was coming in. And so what ended up happening is we started lifting the boats of those that were woefully underfunded in exchange for bringing some of the courts near the top end of funding downward. And we recognized that that was one of the important first steps that we needed to take in order to get the attention of the legislature to help supplement some of the funding that we were locked in at. And we've moved a long way. But we also recognize that we continue to have to work at this. And so the formula or the policy that was established was that whenever we got new money, 50% of the money went to everybody and 50% of the money went to those courts below a statewide average. And in order to preserve that commitment, the mechanism was established that if there are two flat funding years where there's no new money coming in, that there would be a execution of a redistribution model to help bring those courts that are below the statewide average up. And I think that if we were to proceed with 3C, we deviate from the commitment because then everybody gets a reduction in the same amount where, and looking at some of the statistics, we still have courts before the reductions are implemented in the 80%, low 80% funding level, funding of need. And yes, in the model of 3D, they do drop a bit, but collectively, I think there's a preservation and sustainability of funding that recognizes the philosophy that was addressed and established a few years back of making sure that there's some equity when a reduction comes to be. And I think that it's important for us to recognize that our work continues when we get new money, and it continues when we don't get money in order to make this commitment towards equity in funding, because there is an equity right now. And, you know, everybody received, because CPI was not considered new money, everybody received those dollars, but there was not any progress that was made in addressing the inequities that were going on in the different courts. And I think Oksana shared with us that the proposal that is included in attachment 3D is consistent with how reductions were applied back in 2020 when we saw the 160 some odd million dollars get reduced from our budget. So I just wanted to speak and talk about the fact that I think it's important for us to recognize some of the policies that we established before. Even before reductions have taken place, 50 courts in our state were at or above 90%. And I think it's important for us to continue to make a commitment. That number was significantly less that were above that particular number. We've made a lot of progress, and I think it's important for us to continue with the work that we've established before in moving down this path. We're going to get out of this at some point in time, but we also have to recognize some of the commitments and policies that we had previously relied upon to deal with reductions in revenue in addition to increases in revenue. Thank you.
David, thank you very much. And so I confused David's. I'll go to David Slayton now. David?
Thanks very much. I have a question and a couple of comments, if that's okay. The question is for Oksana. With 3D, I think I'm a little bit confused about whether or not the cut is on the allocation or the need. Can you explain that? The adjustment for those in the band?
Yes, absolutely. So again, so when we talk about any reduction, or for that matter, for new money allocation, we're talking about increasing or decreasing the funding level of each court. So from that perspective, in the band right now, we show 3.83% reduction that percentage is for workload formula need, but essentially the percentage will be applied to the allocation amount to calculate the actual reduction amount. But when we move, when we discuss and we move up or down, we're talking about the funding levels. And that funding level is used the need in the calculation, mathematically speaking.
Did that answer your question, David? I think so. It's complicated. I'm trying to analyze it in my head real fast. But my comment
is... If I might, David, just to... Because we're talking... If I might just maybe... And Oksana's doing a great job, and I appreciate it. Just to maybe add a little bit more. These adjustments are based on your share of your funding need, right? And therefore, when you're moving those percentages. And that's why the need has to be part of it. Clearly, when a reduction is finally done, it's against the money that is being, you know, the allocation. But movements are all relative in the equity world about where we are funded relative to one another against our need. And then the funding average. So you have to have need as part of the view in assessing where people end up landing relative to one another, not their absolute values and not even the percentage changes on those numbers, but a court funded at 100% moving down a certain amount of percentages of their reduction, less so in the middle, and then the least amount at the bottom, so that you you compact their funding percentage. So that's a thing. And I don't know if I've made it any better or worse, but yeah. Just you have to look at that number. And that's why I think when we presented it, there was that percentage at the bottom of the 3, 5, 7 and others number, but ultimately you're compressing folks, sadly and unfortunately, to a lower funding level of 91 versus 94. But that's what's happening, is you're compressing folks, the top moving faster towards that average, the middle not so much, and then again the bottom, still everybody getting a cut, but they get the least share in their and where their need and their ultimate funding level changes are.
I mean, obviously a 3.83% or 4.83% calculated on need, since not most of us are not at 100%, would be a greater cut than what our actual allocation is. That's the reason
why I think it's a mathematical comparison. But you're still distributing, you have to distribute the 97 million, and they are in shares, which the upper is getting a greater share, the middle is getting the middle share, and then the bottom is getting the lowest share relative to the rest of the courts.
Concerning the cut.
If it's okay, Judge Compton, my comments. So when I was looking at this and analyzing it, I think for me, the two things based upon my somewhat limited experience on TICFAC is trying to look towards improving equity as a primary goal, but also ensuring stability. I think, if you look at, for instance, 3C, it might improve equity pretty significantly and pretty fastly, but pretty quickly, but the stability is perhaps problematic, because we have some courts that drop by over 10%. And then 3B doesn't seem to improve equity. It seems to be very stable, but not equity. So I've sort of set those aside in my own mind. 3A, interestingly enough, as you run the calculation, it improves equity for everyone across the board, not as quickly as 3D, but it's also pretty stable. I think the largest cut is 4.91% and the lowest is 3.03. So I know we've sort of, seems like we've moved past that one, but it might be worth taking a look at. And then I'll end with 3D, which I think accomplishes both as well, improves equity, and is also pretty stable, with the largest cut being 4.83. The only thing that I have a concern with 3D about, and I've already expressed this to staff, is that for those courts that are in the band that are below the statewide average right now, they are the only courts that are moving away from the statewide average. So if you're above the band and you're above the statewide average, all of those courts move towards the statewide average. If you're below the band and below the statewide average, you're moving up towards the statewide average. But by the way, the formula is currently working with a 3.83% cut for all the courts inside the band. Those that are below the average, those seven courts that are below the average and in the band, are moving away from equity. which seems to be contrary to what we would want. And I think an adjustment to those courts that are below the average that are in the band could be made such that they would not be moving away from equity. Maybe it's the 3.57. I can't do the math real quickly, but it seems like we wouldn't want seven courts to be moving in the opposite direction where everybody else is trying to compress towards the middle. And so I think if we do 3D, my request would be that we seek to not have any of those seven courts that are below the statewide average moving away from the equity. It seems to be inconsistent.
So that's, I appreciate that request. And maybe if we adopt 3D, what we have is staff go back and look at it. Because I'm just mathematically, and Oksana could probably answer this, I don't know if that's possible. But I understand your perspective, and it's a valid observation that if you're in the band, but you're below the exact average, and you're just at the notch of the bottom of the band, it's almost counterintuitive where you're moving. But anyways, I want to make sure we address all these questions. I think Judge Clark, and then I'm going to go to Chris, and then Chad, and then Brandon. Judge Clark.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. First of all, I want to say to the staff that helped put all the numbers together, thank you so much. This made it so much easier to see how this plays out in reality. And I really appreciate you putting in the work and effort to do that. I want to echo a little bit about what David Yamasaki said, that I think that the funding formulas that have been used since WAFM was instituted in order to try to accomplish goals of equity have made a tremendous amount of progress with regards to all the courts. But I think it's really important that part of those funding formulas recognized that you also couldn't take money away from the more generously funded courts too fast, because those courts have operationalized obligations that they have instituted. And that is my concern with funding formula 3C. I think David Slayton just mentioned the range of difference there is so extreme. You have 12 courts that have a greater than 8% cut under the calculation of 3C. And I'd love to be in that, to have that problem. I'm not from a court that's going to have that problem, but I don't see how a court operationalizes instantaneously as much as a 9 or 10% cut. We all know that our budgets are based primarily on contractually obligated labor costs. Those don't change. We don't have that much flexibility in our OE&E portions of our budget. And I just don't see how those courts can handle that. And 3C is so dramatic in the extreme, from a low of 2.2 to a high of over 10%, that I think that is contrary to the considerations that we took into consideration when we changed the funding formulas for the court, that recognized the challenges to overfunded courts coming closer to being within the band. And so I really don't think that 3C is practical in its implementation. I am not supportive of a pro rata distribution. The reality is, I think that, you know, really heightens the impact to the underfunded courts that are below the band. It will heighten the difficulties for them even more. And I just don't think that is supportive of our goal of equity. So I really want to encourage to look at what is proposed in 3D. The range of shift and reduction is far tighter there, from a low of 2.2, I think, to up to a high of 4.8. I think that is more consistent with how we have structured all of the funding methodologies that have been adopted by the court. I think it's far easier to implement. And I think, as David Yamasaki mentioned, it's consistent with what was done in 2021. You know, and the reality is, it's not as favorable to a court in the condition that my court is in, but I think it's fairer and it's easier for everybody to implement and operationalize in this situation. And so I really want to encourage people to look at 3D. I think that is the most appropriate and manageable reduction methodology to utilize.
Mr. Clark, thank you. So I'm going to go to Chris Rule. Judge Getty, I saw that your hand came back up again, but I want to give everybody a chance who's had their hand up previously. Chris, or I'm sorry, yeah. Chris, to you.
Yeah, thank you, Judge. And my comment, I mean, I have one comment, one question. My comment largely echoes, I think, especially what Judge Clark just said, also David Yamasaki. Again, you look at attachment D, and part of our long-term goal here with the workload formula is to reduce volatility and increase stability. And to me, of the non-pro rata options, this is the one that does it the best. My question, and maybe it's premature at this point, maybe more discussion needs to happen, is whether FMS has a recommendation as between particularly 3C and 3D. So maybe think about that while the discussion goes on. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, to answer your question directly, at the conclusion of the meeting, we did not adopt the recommendation. I'll let the FMS members speak for themselves. I think there was more of a sentiment, I think is the strongest word I'd use, towards 3D for those same reasons, recognizing that as we had initially adopted this, we were doing our best to sort of what somebody described as smoothing the glide path for these courts. So that was my best recollection. Other folks can add. I'll go now to Chad, then Brandon, then Judge Sachs, then back to Judge Getty. Chad?
Thanks, Judge. I'll keep it brief. I just wanted to add my voice to I would find it hard to support 3C. I think I could get behind any of the others, but I remember sort of the days before 2018 when the council, you know, put the limiters on the straight workload formula. And, you know, there were courts that from year to year were sort of seeing these wild swings. And for some reason I have it in my head that Contra Costa was always the court that kind of illustrated the problem. I feel like they were kind of always either above or below, and they were seeing these kind of multi-million dollar flips from year to year. And so, you know, that was when the council said, okay, well, we better put that 1% cap on the amount that any court might get cut, a court over the line might go down in a year by operation of the workload formula. And so I think it might have been Judge Clark who pointed out under 3C, I mean, you have some courts taking upward of a 10% cut. And I think that's just really, really contrary to what the council set out to do back in 2018 when it put those limiters in place to try to balance sort of the dual pillars of equity and stability / predictability. So thank you.
Chad, thanks. Brandon?
So I will echo what Chad and Judge Clark had to say. And I certainly would prefer the pro rata reduction, but if we're discussing attachment 3C or 3D, the principles of minimizing volatility and maximizing stability and predictability, I think that 3D will get us there and satisfy the equity question. And so I would support 3D.
Brandon, thanks. Judge Sachs? You're muted.
Thank you very much. Been listening with interest, but I wanted to give you a perspective of one of those courts that have been historically underfunded. So I was appointed in 2007. And in 2007, we were in the low 70s, approaching 70%. It's taken us 15 years to get to the point where we are at. And we are still not on parity with everyone else, but we are a whole lot closer. And we appreciate that. But I want to briefly talk about how that really affected us. And I'm going to use COVID because I was a PJ during COVID. And when COVID hit, we were looking at alternatives. Next door neighbors, who are basically in the same spot we are, Riverside, they had been in a fortunate position where they had some funding possibilities that basically they had the infrastructure to pretty quickly go to remote proceedings. We totally lacked that, and it took us a while to reinvent that. It took us money, extra monies that we had to find from somewhere else to get us up and running. We still are not quite there, but that's how these impacts have impacted. I would presume it's all the courts that have been historically underfunded. I think 3D, as been pointed out by many of our colleagues here, does what the intent has been throughout these 15 years to get the courts in parity with each other. Equality is important, of course, and stability and predictability. 3D does it. I want to put in my support for that proposition. And I really think it's the way to go to preserve what it is that we've all worked for up until this point. So I'm urging us to do the 3D. Thank you.
Judge Sachs, thank you. Judge Gady, back to you.
I want to remind folks about a couple of policy decisions that we've made. So one of the policy decisions that we made is that this conversation happens when there's 2 years of no new money, right? In order to start moving towards equity. So this is not a surprise to us. We have all known it was coming. This is not something that folks could not plan in advance for. It's here. It's going to hurt all of us no matter what. None of us are getting out of this without some pain. But this is not a surprise. And the ban that was adopted in 2020, COVID was a surprise. Nobody had planned ahead for that budget cut. So there was not this, there was a desire to avoid these major swings for sure, because nobody could plan for that. And same thing with the backfill of the civil fees, the assessment fees. Nobody could plan that it wasn't going to be completely 100% backfilled, that we were then, you know, remember the reaction when that backfill came out and they applied the WAFM to it, and people and courts freaked, to use a legal term of art, because it was major changes that nobody saw coming and could not plan in advance for. We're now at a point in time, we've seen this coming. We've seen it coming for a long time. The courts that are experiencing greater than a 5% change are all courts that are well over 100% funded. We have courts, like Judge Sachs mentioned, that have been chronically underfunded, chronically. And 3C and 3D, ironically, some of those that are the worst funded come out worse under 3D. They do. And so if we're not going to make these hard decisions that we need to make for courts that have been, you know, overfunded by greater than 100%, it's going to be another 20 years before we ever get close to some form of parity. We have to start making these tough decisions. And I'm sorry that you might have to cut some of these extra fabulous programs that you have. But the rest of us didn't even have infrastructure for Zoom for when the, you know, when folks went down. And so if you've been in a well-funded court, yes, it will hurt. Welcome to the club, right? It's been tough for the chronically underfunded courts. So I'm sorry to be passionate about it, but I got to tell you that you got to look at the actual courts, not just at the big courts that are 100% funded and going to lose a million extra dollars. So you're not 120% above, right? You got to look at the courts that are 78% funded. Yuba, I mean, that's tough. That's tough to run a program. So I think that I'm in the minority. I accept that, and I will, you know, obviously continue to advocate for 3C. But I want to remind us of the promises that we made to the underfunded courts, that we were going to actually do something towards achieving equity. And so I think we need to make some of those hard decisions. Anyways, I submitted.
Thanks, Judge Gady. I appreciate that. Rebecca?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. I want to actually go back to what Judge Clark said, and that is that part of our original principles was to try and keep an individual court from having these swings back and forth year over year. We don't know what's going to happen this year versus next year. I mean, we can watch and see what happens, but we have had in those early days, those swings that you could not make decisions because of the extreme swings on everything from the filings to the, you know, as compared to each other, to the funding areas. And so I will say, well, you know, David Slayton makes a good point with the pro rata. You know, I think that 3D does stay most consistent with our principles over time, and it does stay most consistent with our slow process towards equity. And it has been a very slow process. What I would say And so my support is behind 3D. What I would say, and I do appreciate FMS taking this on. I got off right in time to where I didn't have to, you know, jump into this hard conversation, but it is a hard conversation. And I would ask that we consider very seriously going forward with a solid permanent approach to cuts. You know, we've for years now said, well, we'll address it at the time. And there's only really a few ways that the cuts come down. And so I do think that there are some general things that we could put into place so that we do know what's going to happen and we don't have perhaps the extreme examples that we see here today. And so I very much think that the FMS did their homework and really did the heavy lifting, but I would say that we need to back them up with, you know, going forward with a policy or at least the framework of a policy that goes forward into perpetuity so that they have somewhere to start next time, because we wouldn't necessarily be having such extreme examples if they had some framework that we were able to start with. And so I will be supporting 3D.
Thank you. David Yamasaki.
Yeah, thank you, Judge. I was just going to mention that I would be happy to make a motion to at the appropriate time for one of the proposals.
Okay, I think we're almost there. Judge Sachs, I see that your electronic hand is still up, but I'm not sure if that meant you wanted to say something else or if you just didn't take your hand down.
I didn't take my hand down. I apologize.
Okay, appreciate that. All right, so I've done my best to make sure everybody.
Brandon Riley's hand is. Oh, he just took it down. Okay.
Yeah, I don't see any more hands. I've done my best to make sure. Is there anybody that has not made a comment yet who desires to make a comment who I have not had an opportunity to call on? Okay, I don't see anything. This is very important to everybody, and I so appreciate Judge Gedio used the word passion. There's nothing wrong with that. I think all of us feel passionate about this. There's a lot, so much that's gone into this consideration. And again, we can't accomplish an absolute goal of equity no matter what we do. There are other aspects that come into this, including stability and predictability, that I don't think should be ignored. But I'm now going to, so David Yamasaki, David, could you just formally make that motion?
Yes, thank you, Judge. I move approval of option 3D as provided in the materials. And I know that Rebecca had made a comment about perhaps operationalizing an approach to dealing with the reductions. I think that's a good place to eventually land, but this is the first year that we've actually implemented or proposed to move forward with a reduction using some of the approaches that were previously identified. And I would want to see how this thing plays out before we perhaps incorporate something like that into an action item from this body. But those are just my thoughts, and I'll defer to others.
Okay, so the motion has been formally made. Is there a second to David Yamasaki's motion?
Larsh would second on the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Now that option 3D, David, be the recommendation that we move forward to JBBC. I remind everybody, the ultimate decision is the council's. I remind everybody that this is a policy decision, not a numbers decision. David Slayton, I see your hand back up again because you had asked, I'm gonna let you talk, but you had mentioned what you describe as a modification to 3D. Is that what you want to address?
Yeah, I just was going to, if there was discussion, I was going to urge the issue here, which is that ports that are below the statewide average, taking the larger cut to move away seems inconsistent with everything we've been talking about. And so my modification that I would love for us to consider is that the council be directed to look at those to see if there's a way to adjust those so that those below the statewide average are not sort of taking a greater cut and causing them to move away. And I think there's a way to adjust similar to the way that the ports below the statewide average outside the band are adjusted so that that doesn't happen.
So earlier you talked about those courts in the band and the perceived, is that what you're still talking about, is those courts in the band that are actually moving down?
there are seven courts in the band below the average. Those seven courts are the only ones moving away from statewide average. Everyone else is moving towards it except for those. So there's a funny thing with the formula there that if we could address that, it would seem to be consistent with everything we've talked about.
Well, I'm not sure if that's a model. Oh, David, Yamasaki, did you have your hand?
No, well, that's my former hand. But one of the things that I would mention is in order to move courts that are away from the band up, that means the courts above the band will have to take a bigger cut. The money has to come from somewhere. So that would be the unfortunate outcome from that sort of thing. And I think it was Judge Clark who mentioned the importance of recognizing the amount of the cut that courts receive from year to year has to be a factor in whatever decisions that are made. So it would be different if we had more money, but at this point we're so, the amount that we have to make up has to be made up by some courts. And that's unfortunately the outcome.
Judge Conklin, may I respond to that?
Of course. And then Judge Clark, I hear your hand back up again, I'll get to you. So David, go ahead, Slayton.
My response to that is that it doesn't seem to make sense to me that courts that are already underfunded would become more underfunded so the ones below them could come up. It would seem to make more sense that courts that are overfunded, I'm sorry for the use of the term, that would be where the money would come. I totally agree with everybody moving to the middle, but it doesn't make sense that those seven courts bear additional responsibility for solving the problem that the courts, that it seems like it should be the courts that are overfunded where that actually happens.
And so again, to clarify, David, are you talking about all the courts, or are you talking about those seven courts within the band? You're restricting your comments to the seven courts within the band that are below the statewide average, but still in the band within 2%.
If you look at where everybody's at now versus statewide average versus after 3D goes into effect, seven courts move away. The rest move towards. And that doesn't seem to be consistent. So it's the way that it seemed to make it happen is adjust it to where no court is moving away from the average. Every court is moving to the middle. That would require additional cuts from those over the band, over the average. That's no doubt about that.
I don't mean to keep harping on this, but that's a dramatic change from 3D, unless you're talking about only the courts within the band.
Only courts within the band.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. So now I've seen other hands up. I'm not sure if they remain up from before. Rebecca, was your hand? No. Judge Clark?
Well, I just want to say, I think the issue becomes then if we look at changing that, if you talk about, and maybe I'm misunderstanding the last little comment, because your last comment was you're talking about only courts within the band, but that would indicate that only the courts that are at the middle or above within the band would be bearing this original burden. And I don't think that's appropriate for them to bear that burden. And I think we still have to be very careful about recognizing that to try to stabilize the seven courts that are in the band already, but are at the low end of the band, we can't then basically create 3C by putting that burden on the courts that are above the band outside. I mean, without being able to see how that actually materializes, I'd be very hesitant to do that. And one of the things I think we have to be absolutely sure about is that nothing we do with regards to the seven courts in the band negatively impacts the courts below the band, because right, they're already taking, you know, a smaller, but it's still a really hard thing to take an additional hit when you're already below the band. I mean, Judge Getty knows I'm in that position. So that matters in that regard. I think 3D is fairer and more appropriate, but we can't negatively impact the courts below the band for the purpose of trying to preserve the ones who were already in the band. So before I'd support anything like that, I'd really want to see what that looks like and have the Judicial Council put those numbers together so we could see how it plays out.
Then I'm going to get to Judge Kelly and then Judge Getty. We may go past 1:30 if folks... we've got to maintain a quorum. Hope you can stay with us. I'm trying to keep this within time. One thing, folks, we have to be so careful about changing the math on the fly. One option is if we do adopt 3D, We can always ask staff or JBBC or any other entity, and this plays off David Yamasaki's comment about we adopt this and then we see how it plays out. It used to be called a parking lot item, but we say, but we need further study on what happens with those courts within the band that appear to be moving down from the statewide average, that we don't really want that outcome. So one possibility is we continue a continued study on this. But with that, Judge Siebert, your hand is now back up again. It was up before. Are you with us, and did you want to make a comment?
Judge, he made a comment in the chat.
And you're muted, Judge Siebert. If you're trying to make a comment, you're muted. Unfortunately, Judge Siebert, we still cannot. And I'm sorry about that. I'm going to turn to Judge Kelly and then back to Judge Getty.
So I think Judge Siebert's comment is in the chat now because he's having such connection issues. But my comment is, I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, Judge Siebert, we just can't hear you. But I will say Judge Siebert put a comment in the chat as follows. I've tried to speak and apparently can't be heard. I'm trying to call in. I will attempt to vote by chat. I'm opposed to the 3D option. I'm in favor of 3C for the reasons consistent with Judge Getty's point. So I wanted to read that into the record, so to speak. Judge Siebert, we can't hear you, but if you can hear us, I just read your comment in, so we have that. Judge Kelly, did I cut you off?
I was just going to support what Judge Clark had said. I recognize that Mr. Slayton has expressed some concerns about the courts in the band, but below the average, the seven courts. But that also, I think, unfairly treats the seven courts above the statewide average still in the band. And so I echo what Judge Clark had expressed, and the concerns are mine as well.
Thank you. Judge Getty, you're muted.
I appreciate Mr. Slayton making clear the points that I was trying to make. We are putting this budget on the backs of the underfunded courts in order to allow courts to have greater than 100% funding to stay more funded. That is not okay. That is not okay. 3D is not fair to several courts. It does not improve the equity for the lowest level, even the ones that are below the level. Take a look, compare Lake, compare Yuba. They're better off under 3C. Something is wrong with the math here, and I think that it is worthwhile to slow down and have the actual numbers and run some different scenarios where folks that have greater than 100% funding. I'm sorry, I appreciate we don't want volatility. We want to be able to have fantastic programs, but the reality is the cuts should not be borne by the underfunded courts.
All right, I appreciate the comments. I will have to make a comment, and I'm on the math, it's not wrong. So I know it might be painful and I know it might be difficult, but the math itself, as best as we can tell, Judge Getty, and we've run this and run this and run this, the math itself is as accurate as we can get. Judge Slayton, you had your hand up.
Yeah, thank you for calling me a judge, but I am not. Just a question maybe for Oksana, which is there an ability to, and this is maybe to Judge Conklin's point about maybe we ask JCC, is there a way to do a gradient inside the band to where the courts under the average would not be impacted negatively moving away? You did gradients and courts below, outside the band below the average. Just wondering if there's a way to do that ultimately. And maybe that's the further study thing, if people are willing to go there.
Oksana. Well, I think we can run different scenarios if members wants to see that, but we would need more directions as to where the additional money will go to. So if we have some relief for those seven courts in the band, where that reduction will go to, which courts?
And again, one possibility might be, David Slayton, if we do adopt 3D, then we send it back for exactly what you suggest, a further study about what would happen if we impose gradients as we move forward. Is there anybody that has not had a chance to be heard?
Judge Conklin, this is Judge Clark, and I know time is of the essence and I've already spoken, but I am going to add one comment.
If we're going to modify this in order to try to preserve the funding for the 7 courts that are within the band, then I have to question, why aren't we looking at everyone who falls from the mid-level below?
Yeah, I don't think we can. I don't think we can modify it at this point, Judge Clark. I think you're right. If we adopt 3D, we move forward. We have to be clear here. If we adopt 3D, we're moving forward with 3D. With to parlay what David Yamasaki said, as we move forward into next year, because folks, it's not going to get better. We're going to have this same discussion next year, and by then maybe things will have played out differently. But as I understand what Judge Slayton is suggesting, or David, pardon me, David Slayton is suggesting, is we study this and say, okay, is there a way to tweak it? But I have to echo what Judge Clark is saying. Given the timing that we have, this is something that has to move forward. So we have now a motion, and the motion is and has been seconded to, as a recommendation, set 3D forward to JBBC. I'm now going to turn it over, recognizing we're at 1:30, but if we have to go more time, are there any additional comments that have not previously been stated that anybody wants to make? Okay, I don't see any hands. So I'm gonna deviate from my standard practice here out of respect to everybody. I typically call for, but I think what's most appropriate here is to say we're gonna, just because it appears to be the option that most people have commented on, I'm gonna start with a vote for those in favor of 3D. And we'll say in favor, A or yay or nay, and if 3D is not accepted, then we'll move forward to the next option that has been most commonly discussed, I believe, is 3C. So I'm going to call first. Rose, if you could just take us through an individual vote on option 3D, David, as proposed.
Sure. Judge Conklin?
Yes.
Ms. Fleming?
Yes.
Judge Clark?
Yes.
Judge Gabe?
Yes.
Judge Getty?
No.
Judge Hernandez?
Yes.
Judge Kamalkarian?
Yes.
Judge Kelly?
Yes.
Judge Losh?
Yes.
Mr. Reinhardt is absent. Judge Sachs?
Yes.
Judge Siebert?
So Judge Siebert, we can't hear you, but you have made clear from your comment that you're supporting 3C. So I'm going to show you are a no on 3D. If that is wrong, please send me an email as soon as practical. He says, yes, that's right. So Judge Siebert is a no.
Thank you. Ms. Cameron?
Yes.
Mr. Finke?
Yes.
Mr. Kim is absent. Mr. Landry is absent. Ms. Levere?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Rule?
Yes.
Mr. Seal is absent. Mr. Slayton?
No.
Mr. Taniguchi?
Yes.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so there are two no votes as registered.
Three.
I'm sorry, Judge Siebert. That's correct. Judge Siebert, there are three no votes as noted, and the remainder of the voting members, absent those that are not with us today, are yes votes. So as the chair, I'm deeming 3C approved. 3C will now move forward. 3D. I'm sorry, Judge Getty, you're right. 3D is approved. There are three yes votes for. Three no votes, remaining yeses on 3D, as in David. It's been a long day. Thanks, folks. Moving forward, this will go to JBBC. Rose, can you give us the date of the JBBC meeting?
And it's June 4th.
Okay, so folks, this is on a pretty tight timeline. It's going to go to JBBC for their June 4th meeting. Mm-hmm. It also then goes through, to the council for their July 12th meeting. So that's when it'll be finally decided. It's the end of the meeting. I appreciate every single comment that was made here. I know folks have strong and well argued opinions. We're judges and we're administrators, and that's our job. I don't think any of us should take offense at anything that was said. I'm so appreciative of, again, Judge Getty, I know you didn't prevail, but your passion was impressive. Folks stated their positions. I think everybody had an ability to do that, and I thank you all for the time. I know y'all need to get going. I say this all the time, but I can't, in this case in particular, folks, the work that staff put in here was it's been sleepless nights. That's all I have to say. And I know that because I've been talking to them. So thank you so much. Staff did their best to present this, just using the facts that they have, what we sometimes call evidence. And that's how we made our decision. So I'm not sure if there's anything else that needs to be said at this point. Anything else that anybody wants to say for the good of the order? Right. We all move forward with mutual respect and admiration is all I can say. Thank you all so much. Do we have another tick back meeting? We don't have another tick back meeting scheduled beforehand, right, Rose?
We do not. The next one would be July 2nd.
Okay. That's where we are. If there's any questions, Rose, I recorded the vote as well. I have the actual votes if you need those, but I know you got them down. Thank you, folks. Thanks so much for your time. Good day. Take care. And go Dodgers. Sorry.
Thank you.